So we started discussing last week some minhagei aveilus. We'll review some of the things and then continue on. So the Gemara tells us in Yevamos about the terrible tragedy that happened with Rabbi Akiva's students, 12,000 peers, 24,000 students. They perished and they died a terrible death, I think Askara, something with some stomach disease. Either way, not a pleasant way to go. And it's a, you know, people say maybe, how do you have 24,000 students dying? Maybe it was during the Bar Kokhba revolt. You know, whichever different historians and different mefarshim try to come up, you know, with that amount of number. But either way, the Gemara mentions they die between Pesach and Atzeres. Some have a Girsa processor. It's only 15 days before that's where Lag BaOmer would come in. But either the Gemara mentions no mention of Avelis. This Gemara does mention it was a terrible tragedy that happened, but the Gemara didn't say, and therefore, no weddings, no haircuts, no music. The Gemara doesn't say anything. The Gemara just describes the event. Maybe it's an Agadata. The Gemara just tells us what happened over there. And in fact, later on, some bring down, that's when the Crusades, during that time, there a lot of other events that happened later on. So it's clearly not a... It's not a happy time, as we pointed out. Really, from the biblical part, it seems like a pretty happy time that we're receiving the Torah. Yet later on, we see different things, different tragedies happening. Some minhagei aveilus. That's why it's such an ambiguous time, because the 3 weeks is clear. It's a sad time. The Beit HaMikdash destroyed.
And
we know that the wall, you know, the siege of Jerusalem, but Sfiras HaOmer is full of very ambiguous. On one hand, the terrible things that happen. On the other hand, it's a happy time. Do you make a Shachiyan or not to? So therefore, because the Gemara never tells us anything, and there are different dinim in the Gemara over there regarding the 3 weeks as well. But the Gemara doesn't mention Avelis whatsoever about anything. It's not until later on. The earliest source we mention is by weddings. The Ritz Gaius brings down others. Apparently there was a minhag developed not to get married during this time period. And even though the Gemara says from Pesach to Atzeres, but a different minhagim developed, either could be, some want to say the Crusades, if you go with the Crusades, why are you keeping Sfira? That's the Rosh Chodesh Iyar time, because in one of the piyutim, what we say on Tisha B'Av, they bring down about the days about Rosh Chodesh Iyar. They bring that to some Dr. Sperber in his book on Minhagei Yisrael. He wants to make distinctions between perhaps why some poskim are more machmir, some are more mekel. It depends on which event. You know, what are you assuming we're in mourning over? I'm not sure. Which one's worse? But. What is it? Is it Rabbi Akiva's students? Is it the Crusades? And he has a whole mahalach, which isn't very interesting. I don't know how compelling it is, but he has some interesting things. Historically speaking, giving the different reasons behind perhaps the Avelis. But the bottom line, and we know, and even Rav Moshe has a famous tshuva about. So even though there are no weddings during Sfira, that's the apparent minhag. However, they asked Rav Moshe about attending weddings, so the Rav Moshe has a whole discussion about showing, number one is you could change your minhagim. Number one, we're dealing with minhagim. Let's say you have a wedding, you know that's going to be in the beginning and the end. So Rav Moshe says, don't worry, change your minhag if you want to be able, and bottom line, he says, even if you can't change the minhag, if you have a wedding on both ends, bottom line, no problem. The mitzvah of Misameach Chasam Akala overrides the minhag of Sfira. And in fact, Rav Moshe even seems to say in one place that you can even machalak between, if you want to keep certain days for weddings, but the other parts for shaving, it's also okay. So Rav Moshe seems, again, because at first it sounds like, you know, ridiculous, you know, well, you pick, but the bottom line, Rav Moshe is saying here, it's only a minhag, there's no mention of it in the Gemara, and even not into the later sources, and therefore Rav Moshe is very careful, you know, when it comes to real dinim, he says, don't let a minhag affect them. So he says, a push comes to shove, if you have to shave, because you wouldn't go to a wedding without shaving, you could also shave. So Rav Moshe is very makel in terms of Makam Sarak. He's still very strong on keeping Minhag Yisrael. If you have no reason not to shave, he's again shaving, you know, unless you have a Makam Sarak. But that's what, so weddings is the first thing that's introduced. It's the Beis Yosef quoting from Rev Yoshua Ibn Shuiv, who apparently was one of the darshaners in the different towns. He had a rav of a town who paskin shailas. Maybe we should go back to this way. We had a rav of the town who paskin shailas and maybe gave shiurim. And then you had another darshaner who gave the sermon every week. He used to come in, and apparently on the first day of Pesach, he mentioned, not that he's not creating the minhag, he's just, in his drasha, he talks about, the minhag of people have of not shaving, not taking haircuts during this time period. So that's one of the first to mention. The Radvaz, late 1600s, I think, you know, 1700s, the Radvaz, Rav David ben Zimra, the Rav of Egypt. In fact, what's amazing about the, many things amazing about the Radvaz, but number one, he lived to 110, which is unheard of now, but certainly then. And he thought when he turned 80, he was going to die soon. So he went to Israel then to live. He got another 30 years out of it. But also he had a famous student called the Arizal. The Arizal died very young, at 38, I believe. And he learned all his halacha. The Arizal learned all this halacha from the Radvaz. Where he learned his Kabbalah, I don't know, from the angels, from Madonna, from somewhere, but he learned not necessarily from the Radvaz, but his Kabbalah he learned elsewhere, but he was a Talmud of the Radvaz. So in one of his Tshuvas, the Radvaz writes, he talks about, he says, some have a custom of not shaving during Tzvira, but he goes into, during Rosh Chodesh Nisan, of course you're not going to have any Yemei Avelis during Nisan. Rosh Chodesh Iyar, he himself, I think, said he took a haircut. Rosh Chodesh, and he says, and even he talks about people even on Friday, Kavod Shabbos, taking haircuts. During his time, he was saying some people have it, some don't. It clearly wasn't widespread even during the time of Ravaz. And he says, of course not. Avelos during Nisan, Avelos on Rosh Chodesh, of course not. None of those things, none of those Minhag Avelos would apply during those days, only during the other days. Clearly that's not our minhag, but I'm just pointing out the Radvaz already is during his time he mentions it, but it wasn't a widespread minhag and some did it, some don't. So the Beis Yosef, Yoshua ibn Shuvim, that's who everyone quotes now. He's mentioned in the Drasha. At that point I guess it became a little more widespread, or maybe he wanted to become widespread, so he started speaking about it. Either way, there's a minhag that we have not shaving and haircuts during Sfira. So Rav Moshe, who agrees to the minhag of Yisrael, he says the minhag is not to shave. On special needs like weddings, we said he's matir. Also, Rav Moshe points out for health reasons. If a person has to shave because, I guess you'll break out, whatever a health issue would be of not shaving, So Rav Moshe is matir, and the Netziv writes as well, because the Netziv writes in general, when you have a minhag going against a real tzarach, a real din, you drop the minhag. Like the Netziv writes, but if the Gemara talks about in Brachas, someone who goes to shul every day, that's a good thing. However, it's not such a good thing when you don't show up. I guess if you don't show up all the time, they're not looking for you. It's always a double-edged sword. The one who goes to shul daily, and you're not there one day, the angels are asking, where is this guy? So they go check where you are. So if you're doing something not a mitzvah, they're not so happy with you. But if you're doing a mitzvah, you're involved in another, then it's very good, they're happy with you. In other words, there's 10 points in this Gemara that we know that going to Minyan is a minhag tov. It's a very good, so if you have a strong minhag, not to do a strong minhag for no reason, that's not good. But if you have a mitzvah to do, so we understand why you can't do a minhag. So he says, when you have the minhag of Sfira, so you have a mitzvah of health issues, or as Rav Moshe writes, parnasa, then of course, then you're permitted to shave. But if not for that, then obviously they hold for the minig, which led us to what we discussed last week. That ties into the issue of shaving on Erev Shabbos. In other words, people shave it.
How does it get the halacha of a minig Yisrael? And you've got, I don't know if any, I mean, I guess the most common thing is holding into Lag BaOmer. But is that, I don't even know if that's a majority of Jews. What percentage of the population has to keep it for it to be a minig Yisrael? Or is it still a minig Yisrael because, you know, some people keep these days, some people keep those days, and that still has a...
No, I mean,
it's a shame of minig Yisrael?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a good, I don't have an exact number, but in terms of, I guess things like, see, also, that'd be the two different questions, I would say. If we're talking about something new, so people started, what's the minig, you know, then we'd have to analyze what's considered, if you're developing a new minig versus, when we're talking about an old minig Yisrael, that was something that
appears to be.
Yeah, that was,
well.
Yeah, they decide, you know, how they came, at what point it became a minig of a certain town to a minig Yisrael, that's, I guess, you know, it's a good question historically speaking, and at what point, let's say, we start doing things today, what, you know, at what point does it, you know, and if you could, and if the same, even if you did it today, would it have the same status? Because even minhagim today, if assumed it was, doesn't have the status, even when we're talking about Svira, the weddings are taken the most seriously because that was the earliest source. Shaving and haircuts at least made it to the Shulchan Aruch. But music, we'll see, didn't make it to the Shulchan Aruch. So we'll get to it in terms, so it also depends. So obviously a newer minig will have to be, I'd say, much more accepted for it to become a minig Yisrael, because the later the development, because the minig Yisrael we usually assume has a source to it, so it's strange that a new minig should be developing, not, you know, that why would a new, you would think, well, why would a new minig develop today, unless it's some societal thing, some tech, things which created, let's say, the minig, let's say, of shaving during, you know, I'm saying, whatever that might be, maybe because of shavers, that would be a reason, then that would be something new. But it's hard to start a new minig not to get married during Svira starting today doesn't, you know, wouldn't really make sense. Or taking on, you know, I guess that could be the question whether you add music to it, which I'll get to music, but music could be part of that, could be part of that discussion.
That.
Yeah.
Accepting that it was a minig Yisrael at one point.
Yeah, so.
But if today.
I didn't know, I mean, it's such a common expression.
Yeah.
In the Shulchan Aruch. So obviously.
Right, but hard to.
Asking that it should be defined.
Right, that's probably one of the reasons why you can't define minhagim. That's why they're only minhagim and not dinim. But I think actually the truth, I think Rav Moshe has in a tshuva, I vaguely remember that's how some of the dinim derabbanan started. They first began as minhagim. And then they later developed, so obviously we don't have the power to do that, but I think Rav Moshe writes in one of his tshuvas like that's where some of the dinim derabbanan came from minhagim, which eventually became dinim. But obviously that wouldn't happen today. You can't,
I'm not even looking at the last part. Once it's already a minig Yisrael, but if it's not kepa Yisrael, it's not a minig Yisrael anymore. And here you have different...
What's the definition? Right, so usually when they say minig Yisrael usually is meant that it was an old minig Yisrael, and hence we should keep it today.
Right.
It's by whether you keep
here,
it...
Here, if you have different shittas, is that still the same minhag?
Right, but those shittas aren't necessarily new. I mean, the minig...
I keep from Rosh Chodesh till Shavuos...
Yeah, but that's right, because even...
How many people keep that besides?
Yeah, I know, but... because Rav Moshe talks about... I think he has four different... it's not even clear that those are the days that... Rabbi Akiva's students died. So Rav Moshe, based on a Tosfos, that we're picking 33 days. It's not necessarily 33 days that anything specific happened on them, as opposed, you know.
They're different. There can be 33 days starting.
Exactly. Yeah. So.
Or 33 days.
Exactly. So there's nothing intrinsic. It depends how some say it is the day. Others say there's nothing inherent about the days. Yes, even so, but it's still considered a minig Yisrael. Within this different minhagi Yisrael. In other words, I'll put it this way: Avelis during Yemei Svir is a minig Yisrael. They're different minhagi Yisrael. What exactly that minig was? But it's still a minig Yisrael. They're doing it because it's a minig Yisrael. Look at that minig was to do it from Rosh Chodesh, but that it still would be a minig Yisrael, even though it's not. Doesn't have to be that everyone's doing the same exact thing at the same time.
I would imagine that the Cheran de Rabbeinu Gershom against marrying more than one wife was a codifying of an existing practice. I mean, that's my conjecture.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it wasn't. And that's what they say. He didn't make it up. He just put it into what it was already, you know, I guess maybe to give it more teeth or put it more on the in the news. But right, he didn't make it up. I mean, you know, Gershon.
As far as Noah Bayless and Nissan is concerned, it so happens that my parents, Yoel's grandparents, were married on the first day of Rosh Chodesh Iyar, which is the last day of Nissan. And that's the meaning where we come from in Germany, Austria, that's when
Sfira
started, second day.
Right, yeah, no. Yeah. Right, you know, like the Radvaz, yeah, like the Radvaz, I mean, yeah, it's a good, right, it's a good question in terms of that. It seems to be, even if it's spread out, it's still a minhag Yisrael. The specific, you know, the detail of the minhag could be different. The, you know, let's say there's a minhag to eat kidney, or so not eat kidney, as I'm, to yeah. them is giving, that's just an example of where it's still considered a minhag Yisrael, even though, I think we still consider, you know, I guess then, you know, when you Svarim usually have their own minhagim. So when you say minhag Yisrael, you're not talking about this way. Svarim have a lot of their own minhagim. So the fact that Svarim eat kidneys doesn't make it not for Ashkenaz. We're talking, you know, minhag Yisrael doesn't mean it applies to everyone. For your group of people, whatever that might be. But I'm saying Ashkenaz versus Svarim, you know, people have Dari, you know, whatever minhag they follow in terms of that. But, yeah, but it's an interesting, you know, question in terms
of... Is Gebrocks the minhag Yisrael? Not even Gebrocks.
Right. I wouldn't call it a minhag Yisrael. I'd say it's a minhag of some... In fact, it's coming a widespread minhag because that's the only thing they're making now. I was in the hotel in the White Oaks. They were, you know... Yeah, only and they don't, but they don't publicize it because they don't want to get a certain crowd. But I'm saying it. But I know it's most of the cakes are Rosh HaKol's now, so it's almost obviously. Don't worry, I put matzah in the soup to make sure. But I'm saying is there was. But I'm saying yeah, I wouldn't call that. You know, some might call it a minhag shtus, like the Vilna Gaon. I wouldn't go that far. But I'm saying is, but I wouldn't call it a minhag shtus.
Which would be a minhag shtus?
Gebrocks.
Not to you.
Yeah.
Gebrocks.
Yeah.
But it's interesting in that connection there with which you referred to, potato flour. We always understand that there was a gezeira, according to the Ashkenazim, there was a gezeira against these items that can be the source of flour, such as beans. You can make flour out of them. So therefore, the kidneys are also. Potatoes would also come under that umbrella, but they weren't around when the gzeira was made.
Right, but that's
so. In other words,
that's a lot of part of the issue of kidney. Could you add new foods now in terms of that? Could you add new foods to the list? And some say, well, it wasn't there, so therefore that wasn't included in the
issues on quinoa, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it. That's it. You know, I think COA was against.
Now they came just this year. Last year they decided they're against.
The corn wasn't around then either.
I've never heard of anybody who's machmir not to use potato flour, even though whatever.
I know, because in fact I found it very ironic at the hotel because obviously the minhag is always kidneys, but what they do is they have like buns that actually look like bread. They're making like you can make. I didn't eat them, but not because. I'm sure it tasted terrible anyway. I wouldn't have it, but it actually looked like it's like hoagie sitting right next to the platter, and like a more. I just see what's the reason for kidney is, and maybe I'm looking at a piece of bread right in front of me. I heard it didn't taste that great anyway, but I didn't eat it because of that. But people came up to me, you know, just pointed out like the irony of it that different food, you know, the whole concerns and different foods we have, like it just, you know, that you have foods that actually look. You made bread from potato starch, but you know, but you can't have the, you know, other things. But either way, getting back, minhagim are always hard to trace because like the rices are the easiest and the rabbanans, but minhagim are always harder to trace. But you always try to find some like, you know, earlier source for why, you know, how a minhag developed, but you don't always know. And you know, some minhagim are, you know, aren't really minhagim Yisrael. But that's the whole issue: shaving on Friday for Shabbos. I mentioned that's Rav Henoch Leibowitz from, he used to be the former Rosh Yeshiva at Chafetz Chaim. I don't know if the minhag still exists with the new one. I heard Rav Scheinberg, someone told me he also says Erev Shabbos. And I know Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, that's what I was mentioning last week, that that someone went to Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, who Rav Aaron was actually, he viewed him as his Rebbe also, Rav Shlomo Zalman, and the Rav after he moved to Israel. And he wrote, Rosh Yeshiva Echad wrote that you're allowed to shave during Sfir Lakovit Shabbos. And he said because it's only a minig not to shave during Sfira, and it's a real din to Mechavet Shabbos. So I said they went back and forth in terms of I'm assuming by the end of the conversation he probably knew who it was.
Because they would say that he's not a Rosh Hashiva.
No, because he knew Rav Aaron, so I'm sure.
I know, but the people who read the Tshuva.
Oh, yeah, maybe that was for the safer part, yeah. Maybe he didn't. But this person knows Rav Aaron. So the point being is, he said, yeah, but how come it's something new? Why didn't anyone else say it? So he went back, yeah, the Rasam was saying it, and because now we live in a society where people are shaving, so it never came up before. His Rai, the only Rai he quoted in the Sefer was about the Magen Avraham, that who says that you're allowed to shower and maybe wash on Erev Shabbos Chazon, but you can't shave or take a haircut. And the Magen Avraham says, because why shave or take a haircut now? You could have done it last week, the week before. It's something you don't do all the time. So it's based on the Diag and the Magen Avraham, but now that you shave all the time, so obviously it should be no different than showering, and therefore he should be mutter. So he said, Al-Pitzvara makes sense, but Rav Shlomo Zalman didn't want to come out, but he did, don't be mocha anyone who, you don't have to listen to me, don't be mocha. In fact, there's a famous mitzvah with Rav Shlomo Zalman. He was very much that way, you don't have to follow me. In other words, if you want to, in fact, they say a mitzvah that someone called them up about an abortion. I guess the woman, I don't know the exact scenario, but Rav Shlomo Zalman holds it's murder. So he had, for him, it's going to be much more difficult for him to come up with a heter. So he said to him, I don't really want to answer your question, but there's a nice rabbi, he also lives not far from here, Eliezer Waldenberg, that sits there. He knew he had a different shita on abortion. And therefore he said, go speak to him, and if you want to follow what he has to say, it's fine with me. In other words, which is interesting that even though if you see, it's interesting two things. Number one is that he sent them to someone else who holds differently, but he didn't say, well, I know Rav Waldenberg says it's okay. He sent them to Rabbi Waldenberg which is a question. Do you have to actually send them to the other person? Or could I say, well, I know it? Again, assuming the case was clear what it was. But either way, but it's interesting. It's usually those people say, you don't have to follow me, follow someone else. You get the strong following. Rav Shlomo Zalman had many people following him because he wasn't putting his sheets in someone's face and saying, you have to listen to what I say. This is what I think. You have another Talmud Chacham who says differently. I have no problem. Go listen to someone else. That's where, Moshe was probably similar. And that's why those are the people usually who get the following in terms of that. I think the Ben Ish Chai writes in one of his Sfarim, he actually gives names. But I think, like he discussed, Machok is Rambam, right? But we generally pass him like the Rambam. So I'm sure there are many reasons why. But the Ravid, if you didn't ever notice, he has very strong language many times against the Rambam. Chai v'kayim, isn't that? So the Ben Ish Chai writes in one of his comments, I don't know if he's writing it as Agadat or what, but he says, but the reason why, the Minhag Yisrael developed following the Rambam, the Ravid, because the Rambam was a man of Shalom, and he's the one. And that's the way, and he goes, and he gets a whole list, he gives different throughout history and saying the people who are interested in making Shalom in Klal Yisrael, not the Kenayim per se, those are the ones who end up, the Minhagi Yisrael or whatever the luck is, we usually follow them. But either way, so that's what he wrote. The point is, the truth is Rav Shlomo Zalman never got the full sheet of Rav Aaron Lichtenstein. This guy only gave him one thing about the The Aaron really based it on two other things why he was matir shaving Erev Shabbos. Number one is he followed his other Rebbe, the Rav, and he quoted, you know, the Rav about the Tzviras Omer has the status of Yud Beis Chodesh, that the Shiva Shloshim and Yud Beis Chodesh, and you're allowed to you're not allowed to shave until someone tells you you're like a Navo. Right, so Machlokes in the Rabbi Kiva Eger discusses whether each time you have to be a Minuvo, or one time once you look like a Minuvo, you have a heter to shave throughout. So I said that, and also the question is how many days is considered not looking like Minuvo? Maybe a shadow, maybe the custom is to go a couple of days. The Rav felt one day was enough. Dr. Lamb felt he felt 3 days. Every 3 days you could shave. And in fact, that's the famous mice they say with the Rav and, 40 years ago before. For some reason, the minhag today in YU, and I think it's still today, but when I was there, I'd say 20 years ago, most people did not shave during Svira. But apparently 20 years before that, the minhag was everyone shaved. In fact, apparently the Rav used to go into the Beis HaMedrash and someone who wasn't shaving during Chol HaMoed, not during Chol HaMoed also, but someone who wasn't shaving during Svira, he'd walk over and say, I know what you're waiting for. You're waiting for someone to tell you you look like a Minuvo. You look like a Minuvo, now go out and shave. I mean, you can finish learning, but you can shave later. Because the Rav held, once it's mutter to shave, you have a chiyuv to shave. What's the chiyuv? The chiyuv is a ben Torah has an obligation to look kempt, as a chiyuv to look proper. I guess today, anyway, everyone walks around with a shirt, towel, and everything else. So I guess it's hard to argue, well, shaving's an issue, but you're not kempt anything else. But that was the minute the Rav felt very, so that's why they say Rav Tzvi, Rav Yehuda Cook as well, in a different context, on Yom HaAtzmaut, he used to walk into America as a Rav and see the people who weren't shaving and scream at them, you don't hold from the Medina, it's a Chag today, why don't you go shave? So, but either that seemed to be the approach, I don't know how effective it would be today, going over to people and confronting them directly, but either way, that was the approach then, and therefore, so Rav Aaron had that reason, the one he held like from the Rav, they really, it's like Yud Beis Chodesh anyway, you're allowed to shave during the week, not only Erev Shabbos, and plus he had another source, a Ritz Gaius. It's an interesting discussion about trimming your mustache when you're a ovel. I mean, trimming your mustache because you're having problems eating because your mustache is going into your mouth. So the Rambam Shita is even during Shiva you can shave, you can trim your mustache. The Ravid, Rambam and Ravid, we don't pass him like either. The Ravid Shita is Kol Shloshim. It's Asir. You can't, and I guess it's Tushri Tasa, because the Ravid Shita is Shloshim's Doraisa. But I don't know if that's why he says it, but he has to make a distinction between Shiva and Shloshim. And in Shulchan Aruch, they bring down the Ritz Gaius, the middle Shita, Shiva no, Shloshim yes. So Bishl, I understand, so the Rambam Shita is that the mitzvah of eating obviously takes precedence over the iser of mourning, and the Rav holds it doesn't. But what's this chiluk the Ritz Gaius is making between Shiva and Shloshim? So Rav Aaron suggested that there's a Ramban in Torah to Adam. He gets into the whole discussion about, number one, whether the iser avelos or the rice or the Rabbanan. But in the discussion, he makes a distinction between during Shiva, or during or he says like this, I think the Ramban says, Deraisa is, there's an excessive joy, something which is a delicacy, that's a Deraisa. And Midrabanan, they also said, don't do things that are only going to cause a discovery. Minatori says, the real obvious, let's say taking a hot shower, a hot bath, during this time, so working with that shita would be a deraisa, but not washing yourself at all would be a sar gadol. So let's say, he makes a distinction in the Rambam between the iser of a tainug versus mi a tainugim versus a discomfort. So So the Ritz Geis, so the Rav Aaron wants to say, perhaps it's the pshat over here in the Ritz Geis, that it makes during Shiva will machmir for tanugim, but when we machmir on the derises, if it's the actual, but midrabanan during shoshim, if it's causing discomfort, we could be making on the derabanan. See, on today that he wants to say maybe trimming your mustache has the same status as shaving, since you do shaving all the time, and therefore he says another sniff to be lenient on shaving. Erev Shabbos, it comes out, but he points out as Akasha, if we're going to equate shaving daily to trimming a mustache, it would come out that during Shloshim, then one who shaves daily could shave during Shloshim, and he quotes Rav Moshe Soloveitchik as being matter at one time to some lawyer who had to go work, even though he revised, I don't understand what his heter was, but it's well known that he went matter it. So we assume during Shloshim you don't do it. But the point is, Rav Aaron had a bunch of riots, not just the one Rav Shlomo Zalman heard. So, but either way, those say Erev Shabbos, the Rav says as well during the whole time. So moving along to music. So where is the source for music? You don't find it anywhere in the Shulchan Aruch. Oh, I shouldn't say that. You don't find anywhere by Sfirat HaOmer the issue of listening to music. So what's going on? What are people inventing an issue of music? So there's a good reason why it's not mentioned in Sfirat HaOmer, because it's mentioned, this Mechaba mentions, and it's us there all year round. There's a famous Gemara in Gittin, Dav Zayin. It's a Gemara in Sota. They quote that basically that when the Sanhedrin became distinct, so they didn't have control anymore, so they stopped saying to listen to music. They couldn't control the lyrics, and then the Psukim talk about music in a Beis HaMishnah. So the Mechaber goes with the Rambam. The Rambam is very strict. The Rambam learns is an Isser basically listening to music all the time, except at a wedding with Tzorach Mitzvah, he'll be Mateh, but generally there's a prohibition all the time of listening to music. Tosis and Rashi have a much more lenient opinion. It's only limited to the Beis HaMishnah, maybe all the time, but in generally, one is permitted to listen to music. So, in fact, the Mechaber goes with the strict opinion of the Rambam, it's Asur, and the Ramah is a little more lenient. So, the question is, why, if the straight psak of the Shulchan Aruch is that music is Asur, you'll be very hard-pressed to find too many Rabbanim who don't listen to music at all. So, what's the heter? Everyone does it. Everyone listens to music today. It seems to be a pretty clear-cut in the Gemaras, in the Shulchan Aruch. So Rav Moshe has a tshuva, Rav Uzna, they also basically say that we live in a very depressing world, and basically we need music to keep us going. It's hard to say it on an individual level, that without music I become clinically depressed, but on a whole, that basically Klai Yisrael needs this type of music, and therefore, whatever the Heterim are, but the Lamais is here. So now that it's here, we do listen to music all year round, even though the straight psak is no. So let's discuss the music during Sfira. So
what makes it mutter? The fact that everybody does it?
No, remotion. No, it's the
we live in depressing times.
No, right. Well, you're asking what came first, but I'm saying so maybe it depends.
How can I listen to music?
It depends. So right. So it's a good question. If it's a limit schus, then you shouldn't. Again, assuming like the Mechaber, we don't pass.
I mean, I don't even have a written heter. No. So what am I relying on?
Well, Rav Moshe has one. Rav Moshe, people do have it in print. They write the same yisod that it's a heter. It's a mental, mental depression, anguish, and
they're trying to be
limits. No, that's the question. So the question: if it's a limit schus, then right, maybe you shouldn't be listening to music. If it's not a limit schus, it's just describing the reality, how it developed, the reason why it's okay to listen to music, and this is why. Then it's okay. That's what you were asking me, right? So depending on which one he's saying, yeah. So I'm saying if it's a limit schus, then right, then really ideally you should. Again, we'll get to, you know, the Ramah is more lenient, so Bnei Ashkenaz can listen to music to a certain extent, but right, but working with the straight psak and the machaber.
Okay, here's the Sfarah. Does anybody say, and this and this Rav back in the 12th century said it's okay, their course?
No, because they talk about, no, I'm saying you have the Tosis and Rashi, they limit the Isser to be basically being in the, together with wine. In fact, I remember there was a Malava Malk on the Saturday night, there was a discussion, this goes back a long time ago, 10, 20 years ago, one of the restaurants in New York, I guess Saturday night, you want to have a, you have like a music, maybe, a, you know, having a show, whatever, it'll be music. So they wanted to know, could you have, as a serving wine? So they wanted, is this in the prohibition of the Ramah? So basically, you know, I'm sure the we're assuming there was a mitzvah of Malava Malka, and therefore it was a Malka mitzvah. But that's what, the real issue is wine and music together in like in a bar in a tavern. That's what the Ramah seems, that's how Tosis and Rashi, and that's how the Ramah limits it to. But according to the Svardim, right, to either to leave mitzvahs or that's, it, so obviously if you need it, you know, certainly it's definitely true. If it's a mental health issue, it's definitely permitted. Again, so obviously you have to, you know, mental health, again, people could, see when you deal with mental health, it could be abused, of course, well, I need it. You might say, well, get over it, deal without music. But that's a very dangerous thing, is there are many people who have real issues, and obviously the people who hide behind mental health, that's a separate issue, but the real mental health issues, and it could be the music, if you get it at the early stage, will prevent them from getting to the stage where they'll have, you know, again, so it's...
I've never heard of somebody who's machmir on it.
Yeah, no, you're not. So I said, I don't either. So I said, you're hard pressed to find anybody.
I've with these halachas that are fairly clear cut, right? You look in
yeah, so it's more of a kash of your smarty. It's not so, with Ashkenaz, you're ready, you only limits it more to, like, you know, to bars and wine. So it's not such a kash on us, but it's a kash
on them.
Yeah. If you hold like the Rama and the Machaber, it's more of a kash. Are there more Ashkenaz singers than Sephardi singers? I don't know.
There's several examples of things that are clear-cut a lot. We just don't, the world, you know, doesn't fear itself by the way. Right, the Rambam and the Chinuch say you have to teach your son all Chumash by yourself, then you can take him to a teacher.
Maybe a lot of times history determines the minute. Like, it could be it was something that was too much for the... Rav Soloveitchik writes in different contexts, but he's also talking about music. I think the question was, it's also a question of, can you make, forget about music, can you make Jewish songs? Like, can you make a music with, so, because someone is limited to Shir Ashirim, the Isser is only, but so Rav Soloveitchik in the whole discussion in one of his essays, he goes into, sometimes history defines what exactly, what the minig is and where the halacha went, and he has many other things he says, but one of the points he makes is, and clearly Jewish music has been, and he says in the Orthodox subculture is a very important thing to keep them away from, a lot of times the music, you can't even tell what you're listening to until you hear the words. He says it became a very important Orthodox subculture to keep people away from other musics, other concerts, and this is Rav Soloveitchik talking, he's talking probably 20 years ago, 30, whatever it was, and he's saying, we see history shows that that's the way the halacha is, because we see what so there is a concept where we look and see, and, you know, I don't mean the average person decides and sees, but Gedolei Yisrael look and see what developed over the years, and you see what's been makubal, what's not. So obviously, clearly, you know, you have to get down to what the root of the Isser of music was, in terms of what type of Isser, and then obviously, how much leeway room you have with it. We're talking about the rices, or, you know, what exactly is the issue, really, and what the purpose. So,
but it depends so much on whether it's with using psukim, then whether you're using with wine, or you're using it in a suda. I mean, there's also now the concept that I think it's brought up in the Chidah that says that the idea of taking a goyish song and using that in a Jewish setting is the highest form of... Now, you're taking klipa, right? Whatever that
you're using it
means, and you right?
Yeah, that's
the idea of taking a Jew and a goy and then bringing it to the shul and singing that. And that's why you see it. Like a lot of the Hasidim, they took popular songs and they And they brought
it. I was in Mary Yisrael where we were singing, I think it was Alan Nisim. I think it's that Ginsburg. One that everybody sings. Everybody. Friedler. We were singing some song. No. I heard that this song is from a Goyisha tomb.
That's the same thing. Because they say some, I forget the names. They quote that they used to go to the churches to hear someone to learn how to give the sermons, but also they used to learn, get the music, and then bring it. Some say Adon Olam, but the point like they say is, let's say when milk falls into your chicken soup, so the luck is batul b'shishim. So, okay, but I want to be machmir. Rabbi, would you eat it? When I get a call, some milk fell in my chicken soup. I say, yeah, it's okay. She says, well, would you eat it? I said, of course. She said, well, I already threw it out. My question is only the pots. I would never. I said, of course I would eat it. In fact, that's what some point out. It's apikorsis if you go against the clause. But the B'nai Yitzchak goes even further. He says, this type of soup you should share with everyone because it's isenase heter. So that's the same concept. That's the Chassidish of Mahalach in general. Everything ultimately is good. It's just a matter of turning it from in the Litvak, not in the yeshiva circles, they'll scream Chai V'Kayim, it comes from a church, so you have both, I'm sure, and it could be also it's probably more among Chassidish with the music also, that could be, they're into Ibnus Hashem B'Simcha, and that whole thing, we're all into Hashem B'Simcha.
Actually, just remembered his words. He said, Be'etzem, this tune is rock and roll.
Yeah, which it is.
That's what you're not allowed to say.
Yes,
Malo Sur apparently is
an example of a
Christian tomb. They're one of the
especially the Babishas.
Malo Sur, the classic Malo Sur.
Yeah, the one that there's no other. So there's no other tomb.
I went to a Syrian minion in Vegas in February. And they sang Kedusha to Christmas tree.
The Chidah would love it. That's exactly what he would want you to do.
Most Christmas songs were composed by Jewish composers.
That makes it Jewish.
Then before we get to Sphere in a second, but what's considered music? Is recorded music? If I hear it on an MP3? So that's a discussion Rav Moshe discusses, the Oz Nibiru, Rav Silver. Moshe's shita basically is it doesn't make a difference. He says it's whatever it is. Like if it's this vocal music, so then we treat it as vocal music on the CD. If it's vocal music together with the klezmer, we consider it music. So Moshe doesn't make, there's no difference in terms of the music. That's why, so according to Moshe, the a cappella or whatever those, so assuming that type of thing would help. Assuming you want to be mako and listen to music without the klezmer. So according to Moshe, but there's no difference in the CD. If you listen, it would be no different if you're listening to live. Moshe says the tape is whatever the content is. If it's a tape of someone playing with music, then it's considered a klezmer. And the Oz Nibiru is more machmer or meiko, depending on he's saying it to be machmer. I'm saying it's a kula that comes out. I'm sure he wouldn't be happy with the kula. The chumra is that. Basically, it doesn't make a difference. He said, if you take vocal music and put it on a MP3, iPod, nice music's coming out, that is a klezmer, it's a musical instrument. And therefore, he says there's no distinction between whether it was his vocal. Even vocal music's considered klezmer, which would come out then. He's not saying it, but then...
But there would also be an isser, even just on music, even singing. Right, the pasuk is layos. Was it a Sunni kazemer?
Yeah, so no. No, so I might think he would say the both are.
So it doesn't get you around the problem. I thought I understood that he would allow.
No, I'm saying no. I was saying. I'm not saying he does, but we'll get a cappella. Then would make sense if you assume like Rav Moshe Shita. What I'm saying is, if you assume. It's just Zemer, then we have to get into what's us during Sphere yet. I'm just saying, according to us, Zemer, there's nothing to talk about. in terms of, you're not going to have a heter, assuming there is one, of vocal versus that. According to Ramosha, we could discuss it. But according to the Osnibaru, it's nothing. I'm just pointing that according to his voice is no longer considered hers. It's a kli zemer. But he doesn't say that, but could come out of possible kula then, that if the woman's voice on the machine is no longer considered, you know, her voice anymore. I think there have... Raja Yosef
has the truth on that.
Yeah.
Listening to Kolisha on a non-recorded.
Right, meaning he said, I'd be going to see his Meiko, Machmer. I don't remember he discusses it also.
He says, if you don't know the woman, then you can listen to it on a recording.
Right.
If you know who...
Right. Also, the Chelkas Yaakov or Brach, he makes a distinction between hearing something on a radio versus a CD. He says a radio, you can't say it's Kli Zemer. It's because it's coming from however radio works, from all the sounds. So he makes a distinction between hearing music on a radio. But getting back, that's what about during Svira? So do we know the mitzvahs? So where do they even come from? It's nowhere in the Shulchan Aruch about not listening to music during Svira.
That kasha really would only work against the Ramah. According to the Machaber...
There's nothing to talk about.
Right.
According to Ramah, of course, according to the Machaber, it's a non-starter.
It's a non-starter,
of
right.
course it's Asiya.
Right.
Exactly. It's only according
really
to the Ramah that if you assume it's Mutter, then... Are there any prohibitions during...
Well, you still have the question on the Beis Yosef. Would he say, if you didn't have the other Isser to deal with, would he say that there is an Isser here?
Would he consider recorded music
But the Ramah has an issue with music.
Exactly. No, but agreeing.
So,
I'm just saying.
Now, why isn't it mentioned?
No, exactly. Right. No, it's only a kasha.
Now the kasha is on the Ashkenazim.
No, the kasha is only on the Ramah on why it's not mentioned in Sfirat Omer. You could. It's not a kasha on the Machaber. Machaber could still say recorded music is mutter. He's saying it's not music. But why it's not brought down in Hilchos Sfirat Omer? It's only a kasha on the Ramah. So the Aruch HaShulchan is the first one to bring up the prohibition of music. He says the issur is, he quotes in the more people, less people. It's different types of dancing. The Magen Aharon says it's also to dance during Svira, because that's excessive simcha. So it comes along, the Aruch HaShulchan says, if dancing is usher during Svira, how much more so music is usher? And certainly music is usher. So the Aruch HaShulchan is the first, and the Ramosha says the same thing as the Aruch HaShulchan. But the Aruch HaShulchan is the first one to bring up the prohibition of music. Both Ramosha and Aruch HaShulchan, both Gorn. Maybe in terms of we have to check.
The question is still why is the Ramos silent on any of this?
All right,
doesn't answer that question.
Exactly.
The Beis Yosef shouldn't be silent. Yeah,
Pashas he's silent because I'll get to why he's silent at the end.
Ah, the secret.
But that's what they say. You know, so because they think they're saying because it's so obvious they didn't have to mention it. I mean, that's what they're saying. If dancing is usher. The music. Then I said, then you get into the...
But who said dancing is...
Magen Avraham, the Aruch HaShulchan and Ramosha extended to music. Again, so then you get into the whole discussion about whether some make a distinction only Klei Zemer is usher. So if you assume only Klei Zemer is usher, then you could go with a cappella, music which is only vocal. So even could be, perhaps even live music, which is the singing is okay. But then you can get on to that. But Rav Mordechai Willig, one of my rebbeim, one of the Rosh Hashivas, he says. says against our, maybe meaning now, maybe it was different during the time of the Aruch HaShulchan. It's hard to say that music today is excessive simcha. People walk around with it 24/7. They have their Walkmans and now they have their iPads. To say music we have all the time, it's hard to say by listening to music you're in some type of delicacy, excessive simcha. So, and he says he thinks music is less than dancing. It's no kal v'chomer. Dancing is usher, you're putting your whole body into it, you're doing it. Music is something you're sitting by listening to. So Rav Wolin thinks me'ikar hadin, there's no difference between music on Sfira and all year round. That's what the Ramadan mentioned. There is no isser of music be'ikar hadin at all during Sfira. So you have, on one end you have Rav Moshe, the Aruch HaShulchan, who say that it's the same isser. That really, basically Rav Moshe I think writes it, that basically really, we should be machmir, really we should be listening to music all year round along those lines. But at least during Sfira, let's not listen to music. Makes that type of message. But he's really agreeing, Maker and it's mutter. Then you have what type of music? You have Mordechai Wolk who says music is 100% mutter during Sfira.
All kinds of music.
Yeah, he says even quiz, you know, Maker and Din, there's no problem. And then you have like a middle approach, you have Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. I think I heard of Scheinberg, that it's music that will lead to dancing. That's the only thing. What is it called? Like meshing? What do they call it? People get up in the middle and start dancing? I don't know. I don't dance. I don't listen to too much music. So, you know, it's not so much an issue for me listening to music. So, but they write music that can lead you to that type of dancing. That type of music is usher. So, you know,
in your car, you'll be fine.
Exactly. No, so for sure. So definitely, there's no question you want to listen to music in your car, definitely to stay awake. I'd say you have a chiyuv to listen to music if that's going to keep you up. So I'm going to ask, what about when they're working out? They need to walk their... I think it's a problem. They're not listening to music. It's a bit towards music. They're listening to music because they, you know, to keep them focused on the workout. And similarly, people, can I go into the mall? Because they're playing music there. So I say, well, if you're going to listen to the music and you're saying you're going to the mall, then it's a problem if you're still listening to... If you're going to the mall to do things and it happens to be music, my shita is, if the music's being forced upon you, it can't be so much of a simcha. If you're playing there, the shows, if I don't want the music, it can't be too much of a simcha.
Rav Neventhal has a shaila that you have to change your ringtone on your phone.
I know, so.
But during, he doesn't ask, it's not asked during Sphere, it's asked during the 3 weeks.
Right.
And he says yes.
He says you do also, yeah.
You have to change your ringtone.
What if you're put on hold? Do you have to hang up?
So, I'll keep the discussion during Sphere, but I don't think it's a problem. You know that. And since I think really Maker Adin, like Rai Wilg is saying, is that Maker Adin, it's not mentioned. We assume it, whatever the luck is of all year round, he thinks apply to Sphere. So let me just to conclude. Of course, it could come out if you want to take all the kulas in the book. So then, if you're taking the Rav's kula, you're shaving. If you're taking Rai Wilk's kula, listening to music, then it comes out. The basis is obviously. I assume you're still counting if you still are. But basically, there's no difference. So how is Sphere different? So I think again, this is more al pi hashkafa than al pi halacha. I think it's kedai whether it's during the 3 weeks or kedai during the because of the Crusades or the Talmid and Rabbi Akiva. Kedai we take on a certain element of avelus, you know. So if let's say you have to go to work and you have to shave, so maybe you should cut. You know, so maybe if you only listen to music during when you're in the car and that, you should take on something that you should know that at least it is. You may have, even though Maker Adin, I'm not saying, technically speaking, you could probably listen to music and shave, but still, nevertheless, in terms of the Hashkafa, and that's probably one of the reasons why I have a beard during Sfira. One is I do it for myself, is like, music, I don't really listen to any, I'm not a big music person anyway, at least one, if I look into the mirror every morning and I think a couple of seconds about Rabbi Akiva's students, so at least it's something, at least it's some reminder. And now also I do it more for educational reasons. I know especially in Hamilton, people are going to ask me, why am I growing a beard? So I get to I gave an opportunity to explain to them about the semi-mourning period. So even though many times that were, halacha is very dynamic and flexible, and for people who need the music, people who need the shaving, it's there for. But, you know, whether, you know, whatever you're going to take, a person should take something during to realize it's still Yumei Avelis, you know. And, of course, you have to realize that one, it's only a minug. You don't have to go overboard and go crazy at all. Of course, you go to the weddings, you do that. Other hand, the fact is that either speak to your own mentor or Rebbe or decide on your own, you know, what type of, what do you want to take on for Sfira, at least to take on something, whatever it's going to be, that should be just a regular 33 or 40, whatever season you hold by Sfira.